This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation. All right, it's Royce Unchained, presented by Josh Arnold, investment consultant, Mr. Money Talk. All right, Pat, we are, not 24 hours, I don't know, like 30 hours? 30 hours away from Suns Timberwolves.
Yeah, and it's it gets more intriguing by the moment when you try to figure out what the heck they're going to do and whose cat's going to try to guard and stuff like that. So I did look up Devin Booker's history against the our boys. He's won 10 in a row and 14 out of 15. But you know what we forget? The Suns stunk when he got there. You know, we talk about 13 straight years without the playoffs here. They had 10. They had 10 straight years without the playoffs. So, and, you know, for them, with their history of their franchise. And Booker, he was the 13th pick. You should see some of the names that got picked ahead of him. Some guy named Hanjo from Europe, or Zanga from Europe or something. You know what astounds me always? You have more basketball players than any other sport in the world except soccer, right? I mean, you got them all over. Now you're getting into all the best players in Europe, you got Asia. Now that I got an NBA Africa, and how often they get somebody who's absolutely rotten in the first round of the NBA draft.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's incredible. It's not deeper, isn't it? And every college kid is now being taken as a freshman, and the year of Booker, Lyles, and Cat were all freshmen on that Kentucky team that went 38-0 and then lost to the Bucky Badgers in the national semifinals. And Cat was, he was taken below. Booker was taken after Cat and the other guy, and I think maybe that's the Cauley Stein was a sophomore.
Willie Cauley Stein,
another one. But a bunch of these guys are like, some of these guys never played. And I looked like who was the guy that everybody had the hots? Justice, what was his name? Winslow.
Winslow.
He's in the G League. He's been in the G League for about 3 years still, and then he goes to Europe and finds it. It's incredible how often they're wrong, isn't it?
I think it's also just shows you how hard it is to break through in the NBA too, right? Because there's not that much playing time available for NBA teams.
Yeah, and they're not looking for guys that are well-rounded 6'6" athletes, you know. They want, you know, if you're a superstar and you're 6'6", then you can play. Otherwise, they want certain models, you know, bigger guys that can rebound or guys that can play defense.
Yeah, role players. Yeah, you're essentially drafting role players in the NBA. Yes. But the other thing,
you stars and stars and then role players. Yeah.
So you go back to that, the 2015 draft, which it's a great sort of a gold mine. So Cauley Stein was the second Kentucky player off the Cat was the first.
Yeah.
Cauley Stein went 6th to the Kings, and then Trey Lyles and Devin Booker went 12 and 13. So they had had four lottery picks from the same class. And remember, Flip up until it was kind of like a 50-50, and Flip late, I think it took Flip a while to come around on Cat being the right pick, which he was.
He was kind of Okafor interested, right?
Yes. And Jahlil Okafor, who's only 28 years old, he's been out of the league for 3 years now.
How about that?
And when he was in the league, he didn't play. You know, it was, he did off and on. And I don't think he got hurt that much either. I think he just couldn't play, which was, which was interesting. Although, now, God love him, God rest his soul, Flip. Flip then became, he just was talking up Okafor to sucker everybody else into thinking he was going to take somebody else. So, but yeah, you're right, though. There was an ongoing debate with him as which one of those big men that he wanted. So
I remember when he took D'Lo to Target Field, too, because D'Lo was two in that pick in that draft, wasn't he, in the Carl draft?
Oh, really? I can't remember
he was.
That.
Yeah, D'Lo was second. Yeah.
I remember looking over at Target in my first year working at MLB and looking over to the right, and there's Dan Barrero, Flip Saunders, and D'Angelo Russell just hanging out in the Legends Club.
Wow, so it's Barrero, huh?
Mm-hmm.
D'Lo hit the winner the other night, right? So now he was a hero.
Yeah, he hit the clincher. They were up by one, and he hit the. It was very much an Allen Iverson in the corner situation where he hits the three and then immediately turns to the bench and punks. Yeah,
turns to the crowd, and he gives him a good game about once every 2 weeks, and then. I heard he got the 40 the one game. Didn't he get 40 like a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I did.
And then the next game he got 4, and he did play, and he was getting savaged on one of those goofy talk shows that I ran across, NBA radio or something. They were, hey, he's a dog, you know.
And so, what's funny, so this is, and I'm not trying to disparage him too much here, but this is a great situation for him because he was brought into the Timberwolves to be kind of like the 1B next to Cat to save the franchise and he helped get him to the playoffs. But this was the best shooting season he's ever had. He shot 42% from three on 7 attempts a game. But you know what? When you're playing with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, you should have about 10 open looks a night and you should knock a bunch of them down. So,
and the other reason is we talked him up, but we really got him because we wanted to get rid of Wiggy. That was, Rosas wanted to get rid of Wiggy. And so Cat was, D'Lo was the next best thing he could find to get rid of Wiggy. So,
yeah.
Anyway, it is going to be interesting, though. We talked about it yesterday. There's nobody for Cat to guard except the other center. So I don't know what they're going to do. It's going to be really interesting.
Now, so Jim Pete is a regular on Thursdays now on Flagrant Howls, he's great. And he came on yesterday. Oh, yeah. He's in his living room, he's just got his screen up and he's got to be a little careful because he was at practice yesterday.
Yes.
And he said, because I started the episode and I said, Jim, I'm going to gauge my level of panic for this series based on your level of panic. So you tell us how panic should Timberwolves fans be. And he said, okay, I was at practice yesterday and I am very intrigued by some of the things they were doing at practice yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. He couldn't go any further if that meant like it's a state secret, right?
Yeah.
Does it mean different lineup combos? Does it mean different motions? I don't know. But they've been planning their counterpunch at practice this week. So there's your breaking news.
Well, it is certainly a good thing for them that they had 5 days off to plot, because whatever they had come up with against this team previously, I was over there Monday, was it? Was I there Tuesday? I was there Tuesday in the morning, and I was sitting there out in the lobby waiting for somebody and watching the start of practice, and then the shade came down.
You're not watching practice, Royce.
You get this great big view, and it's a beautiful court there, and then the shade came down.
There's an electric fence gets turned on.
I don't think any Phoenix people could be allowed up there, but they don't want anybody. They don't trust anybody. The shade.
Ushers aren't. Your guy, Tibbs, went so far. He used to ban Dave Benz and Jim Pete. They once had like a big sit down with Tibbs to say, we're your broadcasters. Can we just watch practice?
Yeah.
Well, him and Jim Pete Jim Pete couldn't stand him because of that. He just treated him like another person instead of a guy who'd been like,
it was the most paranoid coaching staff. Like they thought that even the own broadcast team was out to get him.
Plus the assistant, he was the assistant coach for the Lakes, and he could watch practice, for the for the Timberwolves. So Tibbs could be a little paranoid.
But hey, that Knicks Sixers series is going to be a fun one. I think the Knicks with a less than 100% Joel Embiid, I think your Knicks, Pat, are going to be in good shape.
Yeah, maybe, but don't you feel like he should have tanked the game and played Indiana instead?
Yes, but Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah. Oh God, he was. I was watching the end of it. He was grinding like a
switch. Yeah, he ain't tanking. He can't bring himself to tank.
Wanted to get to 50 wins. You know, I'm sure it was part of it. You know, that was, but there was out there playing them all 52 minutes, and they were just grinding.
Oh man, how much does he love Brunson? I bet. I mean, the player that he's turned into, man.
Yeah, he loved him when he got him. You know, he loved him so much he got hired his dad as assistant coach, yeah. Right? Is his dad still there? I think he is.
I think he is, yeah. Yep. Old Rick Brunson.
Of course, being an assistant coach like Tibbs is like, you know, what? They never got to do anything when Tibbs was here. The assistants were at all.
You guys recall that Rick was actually on Tibbs' staff here and was forced to resign amid allegations of improper conduct. So
Rick Brunson doesn't have the best reputation around.
No, but once you find out that Rick is gone,
I can play, man.
That's what I was going to say. Once Tibbs is like, well, if I can't have Rick Brunson on my staff, now I can't get his kid. See y'all later. Bye.
Which is a college thing, you know. I mean, suddenly Larry Brown decided he had to have Ed Manning, who was driving truck in somewhere in the South, and suddenly he's an assistant coach at Kansas and won him a national championship, so you can't complain about that.
But, yeah,
that's right.
But it's been happening in college a lot, but the NBA is a little different than Jalen Brunson's going to be. That should have been tampering, shouldn't have been hiring the dad, shouldn't have been.
Well, what's going to be interesting this year is there's, you know, LeBron's kid who did nothing as a freshman. Now, in fairness, he was coming back from a traumatizing heart episode where he almost died. But he averaged a handful of points. He shot like 37%.
Oh yeah, he didn't
play. He's testing the waters of the NBA draft. And LeBron has said for like 3 or 4 years, because he has aligned his contract.
Wants to play with him, man.
Is some team gonna pump Bronny's tires, draft him in the first round just to get LeBron?
Not the first round, but maybe the second. There's no way he could be a first rounder, for God's sake.
How bad do you want LeBron? That's the question.
Well, I don't know. I mean, LeBron's going to stay in L.A. now, is he? Where is he?
He wants to play a year with his son. He has set
28.
Yeah, but he's going to get out there and the kid's going to embarrass himself.
But you'd have to look at it as you're using the draft pick to get LeBron James. So what's the highest pick you would spend to get a 40-year-old LeBron James?
I don't know, because he's actually had a good year, but he's missed some games, and I don't know. I thought it was silly of the kid, but he's obviously doing it just for that reason, that hopefully he can play a year with.
He's
the
in the
man.
Portal too, right? I think he's keeping his college hopes, if just in case he's informed, son, you're not going to be taken by anyone in both rounds.
The Timberwolves, as Judd said, the Timberwolves right now, as projected, have the 28th pick. Yes, they do still have some first round picks from the Gobert trade. Would you rather take a flyer on some random like Trey Alexander from Creighton, or do you take Bronny and say, LeBron, veteran minimum contract, come join the party here?
It'd have to be a minimum contract with the situation they're in. It's very compelling to see if they can figure out a way to make. We were talking about this yesterday. To punish Phoenix for only having one big guy, can they make that? Can they do that? I don't know. The 3-pointer is so dominant now that you probably can't even do that. But
that's what you asked, Pat. Can they, if they go away from what they've ordinarily done and get creative, they probably can. If they don't, they might be backing themselves into a corner.
The three guys that have the best chance to stick on the three Suns' best offensive players are Jade McDaniels, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, 6'5".
Yeah.
You know, he can guard anyone. And Anthony Edwards. So do you sort of start by saying, how many minutes can you get those guys together? But then you're going to want Conley on the court for 25. So are you going to have lineups where it's Conley, Ant, Nikhil, and Jaden for long stretches, and then you just put one big man on the court?
Yeah, and if that's the case, it's going to be Rudy because you want him guarding the net, you know, and getting rebounds. But is the other thing is I want Ant to guard Beal because Beal just shoots threes. He doesn't drive that much, right? He doesn't drive that.
Save some energy.
I just don't want him getting fouls. I don't want him getting the three fouls in the first quarter because he's already pissed off the officials by complaining about the shooting a dunk and then wanting a foul on it, you know, or something. That's he worries me. In fact, I got a line in my column tomorrow saying to prove that this is Ant's team, he's now replaced Cat as the biggest whiner on the club, you know. We all like it. The NBA likes to declare this is such and such a team. This is somebody's team, right? It's Ant's team. So
yeah. Hey, I got a Twins question for you, but let's first shout out our friends at Valley Auto Group, Pat. It's almost time to take road trips here for people. What kind of cars?
Yes, I think the weather's going to get better than today when it's snowing. Remember this wonderful winter we had? Well, now they're giving us winter and spring here. I don't know about that, but. Jim Paul and Valley, Brett Paul's Valley Group of GM dealers, they got all the vehicles now. They got the big Yukons. They got a Hummer EV out there, for goodness sakes. They have all the SUVs you could possibly look for, and the interest rates are low, 0.9%, 1.9%. There's a lot of factory rebates going on. Hard as car buying was a couple of years ago, it's never been easier than it is right now at Jim Paul and Brett Paul's Valley Group of GM dealers, Apple Valley and Hastings. 120 cars on the lot at Apple Valley. And, get out there, take a peek. Do yourself a favor. Get a new car. What the heck?
Amen. Hey, the dark corners of Twins Twitter here. They want David Popkins fired. They want a head on a platter here. What's the Popkins panic level going into this homestand?
Well, have they ever done that in the middle of the season?
That's what Declan was saying the other day.
Wes Johnson left because he was feuding with the geniuses, but that was him leaving. That wasn't them firing him. He was sick of being he wanted to be the guru, and they had their own gurus. And, you know, I don't think he and Josh Culk were getting along too well. So that's why he left. But I don't know if he couldn't get fired last year at this, halfway through the season. I don't know. He's teaching them what they want to teach, right? Isn't that it?
It comes from above him.
It's working really well so far. If that's the
193. Yeah. Hey, it's the moves they made in the offseason kind of indicated that it wasn't going to be a home run or nothing operation again, and yet they're not hitting home runs and they aren't hitting singles. So that's how can you now? We got to reiterate their best two players aren't playing. Okay,
And the left side. But there are other players that could do something offensively.
Yes, yeah. I mean, no, that's right. I mean, it's phenomenal how thin they are. They thought they had this deep organization. It's phenomenal how thin. Carlos Santana, I can't figure it out. I can't figure out what they signed him for. You know, Eddie Julian's fine. Ryan Jeffers, their second best hitter right now, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, Kirilloff is a nice little 3 weeks for Kirilloff.
Kirilloff's healthy, too. If Kirilloff's healthy, he's a very good hitter. But he could also be playing first base, and you wouldn't have had to get Carlos Santana, so you might have been able to get a $7 million starting pitcher to help out with the mess here. But I do like the fact that Jose Miranda is back in the hunt here, and even he might be playing first base. I hate him at third, but I like him better at third than I do at first. So it's
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
By the way, do you see Big Miguel? Big Miguel's like 10 for 31 or something.
Good for him.
He's in shape, but he's not playing. They must only be playing him against lefties or something. He's only got 30 at bats.
Let's peek him. Let's take a look here.
How about Buxton, too, though, Royce? Like, we're not talking about Buxton enough. He looks lost at the plate.
Yeah,
once way too often.
Once the other day, he ran into a couple of pitches and hit him hard, but.
They've completely changed. I think it was Parker Hagman who broke this down, but they have completely changed pitchers, how they're approaching Buxton. If you look at, you know, the heat map, everything is on that outside lower third corner where he knows he's going to chase and he can't get to. So no one's giving him anything inside. No one's giving him a fastball. They're giving him strictly breaking balls, and they're not giving him anything to try to hit, to try to pull out of the ballpark.
Yeah. I think one of his, The bat I saw in Baltimore after he got in a hit, but the next time they got the two strikes and it was over in the other's batter's box and he missed it by a foot and a half, chasing it down and low. Kind of Miguel-like there, almost. But
Yeah. Miguel Sano, by the way, has turned into a high batting average, low power hitter in the first 3 weeks for the Angels.
Well, now that he's skinny, maybe he'll be stealing bases pretty soon.
He has no home runs yet, but he does have 11 hits, and he's drawn a few walks. So good for Miguel.
Yeah. It's by the way, everybody scoffed at me when I said the Kansas City Royals had a better starting rotation than the Twins, and they had Bobby Witt, who's the best player in the division. And now they're what, 10-7 or 11-7 or something last
they're
year?
They're 12-7.
Yeah, they're playing good.
12-7. So they're 20% of the way to last year's win total already. Yeah. That's pretty good. They were, what, 56 and 106 last year, I think. 56.
And by the way, like Salvador Perez, who I...
What is that?
He's been in the league since like the 80s. And... He still hits home runs. He's still a dangerous hitter.
First ballot Hall of Famer, that dude, man.
He should be. Yeah.
He is. Yeah, because he was a really good catcher in his day, but he now looks like fat and slow and all beat up, but he still gets hits.
Yeah, he can still hit. He's playing more first base now, right?
Yeah, they got the other catcher, but he's he can still hit this club, too. He's their all-time... Since Target Field, right? Isn't he the home run leader against them?
One of them, I think.
I believe that's true.
19 or 20.
Jose Bautista had it for a while.
Encarnacion, right? Yeah, he used to kill them, but it might be Perez now.
I'll never forget that one series at the end of the season. Was that the first year they were in the stadium when Bautista and Encarnacion, and then he came in and hit like 9 in 3 days. They were just these moonshots out the center field.
Like Joe Mauer kept having fly balls die up, 10 feet short. Oh, the concrete hasn't settled. Then the Blue Jays come in, they're like, the concrete's fine.
I missed the concrete not settling. That was
Is it settled now? Do we know? 14 years later?
It's settled long ago.
Okay.
But that was the best. Who came up with that excuse?
That was a Bramer thing, right? I think Dick Bramer was the originator of the concrete not being settled.
Boy, Dick should be happy, right? He doesn't have to try to sugarcoat this. He can just
poor Provis. What a year to be on Bally's.
Oh man, alive! And the good thing about being a color guy on with Atterbury, you don't have to say anything. You know, you don't have to cover up. The stuff. You can just. He I like him as a guy, but. Judd pointed this out to me. The other day, he was telling stories to Paul Molitor about the 82 Brewers-Orioles series in Baltimore to end the season, on which Molitor was playing for Milwaukee. And they won the game 4. But the stories belong to Atterbury, not Molitor.
That's amazing.
Who was probably hitting first there, I would think, during that series. And then would go on to the World Series and have, what, 14 hits or something like that? I mean, he had a record number of hits. But Chris had the stories, not poor Paul. So
that's funny.
Anyway.
Well, Pat, we got to run to a Purple Daily live stream here, but we will recap the weekend and game one with you.
When is Purple Daily making its official predictions on what quarterback they're going to end up with?
Probably the
Wednesday or not until you're having.
Well, we are doing a Thursday morning.
You have a gala event Thursday night.
Oh, Thursday night at the Fillmore in Minneapolis.
Yes.
Yep. It's been sold out for about a month and a half. We're very excited.
So are you going to reveal it before that, or are you going to reveal it in the 15 minutes before the draft starts? Who's picking whom?
I think we're going to. So we always do a morning episode where we go through the final Mount Rushmore mockers. Like Mel Kiper will put his 4.0. And I think that's when we will settle on what we think is going to happen. But Pat, there's an eternity of time left here for news and smoke screens
and a potential
trade.
All I
know is this is the best 2 months from the brain trust of a Vikings since Jim Finks traded Tarkington in 1967.
You're going to write the column, man.
I'm going to write it for Sunday. It's going to be a fawning tribute to getting rid of Cousins, getting rid of Hunter, and planning for a future, having a franchise with a future, which is what your Wild should have done instead of signed all those old stiffs for 3-year contracts. But that's another story.
We got the GM presser today. GM and coach talk, 3:00.
Okay.
I'll be there.
All right. It's going to be good. See you. Goodbye.
All right. See you, Pat. There he is, Royce Unchained, presented by Josh Arnold, investment consultant.